We're in a series that we started in January on this idea of growing in faith. Like, we want to grow in our faith. We're here because we want to grow in the love of God. We want to grow in the presence and awareness of God in our lives. And so the purpose of the series is to identify practices, to give encouragement, to help each of us grow in faith and grow in relationship with Jesus. Our theme verse, as we've been reading every week, but it's good. It's good for me. Every time I read this verse and hear this verse, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. For us to grow, we have to spend time with God. And that's why that's such a priority for us. We're talking about the marriage course. And one of the benefits of the marriage course as an illustration is that it's giving us time with each other. It's content, but then there's conversation that's built in. And so we need that with God. We just need time with God. Conversation. Content is his word, and then conversation is prayer. And that's how we grow. We become like a tree planted by streams of water. Some ingredients for growth. There's many more. God grows us up in a variety of different ways. And everybody's life is different. It's all unique for us. But these are some things that we identified. The first is that we come into salvation. We realize that God did this. He brought us in. Everything that we do is a response to his love for us. There was a sermon title a few weeks ago, Perfect Makes Practice. All of our spiritual disciplines, our practices, are as a response to God's perfection that he's already declared us righteous. And out of that gratitude, we respond. We're not spending time in God's word. We're not going to church to try to earn his favor. We already have it. And we're here because we want to be here. Submission to him, it's not just believing. Say, oh yeah, I believe that. But we step into it. We embrace it. We push everything across the table and say, God, here's my life. Here's my stuff. Here's my time. Here are my talents. All of this stuff, it's yours. And obviously, that's an ongoing battle in our lives is we take it back. We push it across and we take it back. And then we confess and we repent. Oh, here. And then we take it back. But submission, spending time with God, spending time with God's people. And this is kind of where we are now. One of the elements of spending time with God's people, last week we talked about time, 1/7 of our time. God says, give me a day, the Sabbath. And now it's the Lord, we call it the Lord's Day in the New Testament. They began worshiping on the first day of the week. But God says, clear out your calendar and give me time. And hey, by the way, this is for you. It's for you to find rest. It's for you to be reminded that your rest is in me. And so that was last week with our time. This week, it's talents. And next week, it's treasure. The elements, all of the all-encompassing parts of who we are. And then sharing God's love with others is another way that we can grow in our faith. And then finally, lastly, and it's I mention every week, it's the one that we don't want on the list, but suffering. Suffering is a way that God grows us up. And obviously, we try to spend our lives avoiding suffering, but God oftentimes actually moves us into the furnace of suffering because it's where we grow. He refines us. So trusting God in our time, talents today, and treasure. Our text this morning is from Exodus 35 and a little bit of 36. And it's a long text, so I don't have the whole thing on the screen, but it's really more narrative, so you can just sit back and listen. But I'm going to start off Exodus 35. This is around 1500 BC. God is giving instructions for construction of the tabernacle. The Israelites they've left Egypt. They're in the desert where they wandered for 40 years, but you know, and I can't remember off the top of my head. I think it was like a 7 or 8 day journey, actually, from Egypt to Canaan, to the promised land. But they were in the desert for 40 years. And, you know, they have to ask the question, go, why, God, why in the world are we, you know, wandering in figure eights throughout the desert? And he said, the reason is because I was teaching you to trust me. I was teaching you to trust me. So when I look at where we are as a church and we're wondering about permanent space and where do we go and what do we do, and it seems cloudy, and maybe in your own lives you've got situations like that as well, God is teaching us to trust him. In the uncertainties of life, he's teaching us to trust him. But Exodus 35, 1 through 3 says this, and it's kind of a transition from last week. It talks about Sabbath regulations. And it starts off this way because before God gives instruction for constructing the tabernacle, he's saying, I don't want you to work 7 days a week on this thing. It's important, but the Sabbath is more important. So Moses assembled the whole Israelite community and said to them, these are the things the Lord has commanded you to do. For 6 days, work is to be done, but the seventh day shall be your holy day, a day of Sabbath rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it will be put to death. We said last week, that seems extreme, right? It seems extreme, but what it tells us, it gives us a picture of the holiness of God. There in the Old Testament, there were penalties for sin, that death or stoning or whatever it may be, that we just go, holy cow. But it shows us the holiness of God and the separation that there is for us as unholy people. We have no idea as to the vast treason of our sin against a holy God. But the good news about that, the flip side about that is when we understand how infinitely humongous that gap is, then Jesus's payment for our sin on the cross becomes infinitely bigger. And his grace just becomes unbelievably huge in our lives. And when his grace is unbelievably huge in our lives, our gratitude becomes infinitely large. And that begins to become our motivation of life, is gratitude. So, whoever does any work on the Sabbath shall be put to death. And then he says, do not light a fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day. Do not light a fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day. I pause there because after the service last week, somebody came up to me and said, I have an interesting story about the Sabbath. He said, I put a stove in a person's home that I was remodeling, and they called me and they said their stove wasn't working. They couldn't get it to turn on. And so I went over there and I couldn't figure out what in the world was going on. I did some research and found out that the stove had a Sabbath setting. And you actually can turn it on and program it. Once you program your stove with the calendar and day and time and all that, it has a Sabbath setting. So one day in seven, it will not work. You cannot use it. I think there's some pictures. There's the Sabbath setting. And there's one more. Yeah, Sabbath mode. That's what it would be at our house, off. We won't work, but the stove needs. But he said, don't light a fire on the Sabbath. So they're literally not lighting fire on the Sabbath. But, you know, Orthodox Jews, they really take all of this seriously. If you know where, you know, the synagogue and temple down off of North Druid Hills, kind of in that area, it has a high density population of Orthodox Jewish people because on the Sabbath, they do not operate their cars. They will not drive. They will walk to the temple. Somebody told me a story last week that, you know, they were visiting Israel, and in their hotel they stepped in and there were some Orthodox Jews in the elevator, and the Orthodox Jews were just standing there waiting for them to push the button. It's like, you can go to hell, but I'm not touching that button. But I'm going to go, you know, to the fourth floor with you. So so they're serious about that. One more story from last week. I got a text from somebody in the church, and they said, hey, you know, I really appreciated the message. And as you were preaching, I was telling myself, I think I'm going to give God 2 hours on Sunday. And he said, as you got into the message, I was like, no, I think I need to give God the entire Sabbath. And he said, I had a property that I was looking to rent, and somebody had expressed interest, and it was on my agenda to follow up with that person that Sunday afternoon to see if they wanted to rent the property. And he said, I was convicted just to wait and do it on Monday. And he said, after I made that decision, that person actually called me and said that they wanted to rent it. He said, it's just an example of how when we trust God, he's faithful. Now, those kind of stories are not always going to happen, but at that moment, he did. And I think God does show himself and he proves himself to be faithful to us after we step in and we are faithful to him. So, moving on. And by the way, this text, the good news is, I don't think I'm going to read it all next week, but it's the same text this week and next week. But I'll go through it today, and I am going to kind of skip some parts here. But just one, it's good. It's really an important text for this topic of giving God our treasure and or our talents and in our treasure. That's next week. So Exodus 35, 1 through 35 and 36, 1 through 6. Now God's giving instructions for building the tabernacle. And these are some kind of cliff notes that I'm putting up here. But Moses said to the whole assembled Israelite community, this is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins, so on and so forth. He lists all this stuff that there, if you've got it, bring it. Verse 10, all who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded. You're skilled, you come. We need your help. And then he lists down, and I'm going to skip through here the things that were listed. We need your help building the tabernacle, the ark of the covenant, the table, the lampstand, the altar of incense, the curtain for the doorway, the altar of burnt offering, the bronze basin, the curtains for the courtyard, the curtain for the entrance, the tent pegs, the garments worn for ministering. All these things we need your help making. Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord. They didn't do it out of guilt. Moses gave a command, but they did it out of gratitude. Their hearts were moved, and they went and they just found everything they could and they brought it. They gave an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all the services, and for the sacred garments. Every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun, blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen. And all the women who were willing and had the skill spun the goat hair. The leaders brought onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought the Lord free will offerings for all the work the Lord through Moses had commanded them to do. Then Moses said to the Israelites, see, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills. Bezalel was filled by the Spirit of God with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. This guy was skilled in lots of different areas, and it says the Spirit of God did this, gave him these skills. And he's given both him and Aholiab, son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. So now we have Aholiab along with Bezalel. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers. So Bezalel, Aholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work at constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord commanded. So they're bringing all their stuff. He's rounded up and he's gifted and he's skilled, and the Holy Spirit has empowered all these people to do the stuff. So they're coming to work. And the people continued to bring free will offerings morning after morning. And I'm nearing the end of this text. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, so everybody's bringing stuff and the workers are working on stuff. And they left the job site and they went to Moses and they said, hey, the people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done. So Moses gave an order and then sent this word throughout the camp. No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. And so the people were restrained from bringing more because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. Have you ever heard that in church where the pastor said, all right, we got plenty. Stop giving. That's enough. We got all we need. So it's just an unbelievable picture of what was going on with the Israelites. I mean, they're going all in, throwing all their stuff, all their talent for the purpose of building this tabernacle. And they're wandering in the desert. And it does remind me of Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit came and empowered the church. And it said that they were gathering every day. They were praying and they were eating together and they were sharing all their stuff. And anybody that had need, they were providing for. So there's this new fresh wind of the Spirit where this church community, this family of God is just saying, it's all yours and it's all yours. They all were just sharing everything. And that really is the ideal picture of the family of God. We do an inventory of our stuff and an inventory of our skills and we go, I'm pushing it across so that God is glorified and so that you benefit. And we all do that. And it's just an amazing thing. Of course, it's not perfect. We're not anywhere near perfect. We're all in a process of sanctification, of God working out our imperfections and working in his perfection in us. And we're all, every church is in a process of sanctification. He's doing his thing in us. And so as we look at this idea of, briefly this morning, of talent, giving our talents away, Bezalel, Oholiab, and every skilled person. You know, there are a few other spots in Scripture that talk about these people that are specifically gifted with talents from God. In Genesis 4, Jubal and Tubal-Cain, they're sons of Lamech, who was the new son of Adam and Eve after Cain killed Abel. They had another son, Lamech, and they had some boys, Jubal and Cain, Tubal-Cain, and they had others. But the Bible specifically says that Jubal was the father of all who play stringed instruments and pipes. Jubal. That's where the word jubilee comes from. Jubilation. It's music. It's singing. So that's Jubal. He was specifically gifted and talented with that. We have people here in this church who are specifically gifted and talented with that. Tubal-Cain was forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. God made him to build stuff, to make stuff, to craft stuff. And then the sons of Korah, this is interesting. The sons of Korah were Levites, and the Levites were tasked with caring for everything that had to do with the tabernacle. And the sons of Korah were Kohathites. The Kohathites were tasked with everything inside the tabernacle. So whenever God said, we're picking up and moving, we got to go somewhere, it was the Kohathites that were responsible for packing up all the stuff inside the tabernacle. And then they'd move it to the next location. So as I was thinking about that, I said, we have some Kohathites in our church. Cravens is a Kohathite. Dale's a Kohathite. Dwight Blair, a bunch of other guys that come up early and grab crates from Hillside and bring them over here and then pack them up. Alex Campbell after the service and Jason Smith and many others. But we've got Kohathites. And the sons of Korah, we know, wrote 11 psalms. And, you know, Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you. So there are numbers of these psalms that we're grateful for these sons of Korah. So we all have roles. We all have specific skills, but there's a lot of cross-pollination. So it'd be like if Cravens and Dale were writing the worship songs for us, right? We expect that, Cravens, by the way. come up with something next week. But it's just cool. It's neat to see how God gifts and skills different people, and he uses us in different ways, and he gives us different opportunities to serve. So what are the skills that you're good at doing? What has God gifted you with? A lot of times with church, we only think of, you know, teaching or, again, you know, packing up stuff, like especially in a church plant, moving stuff. There's very limited, playing music, very limited things that we think of. But there's a list here, as I was just thinking of, I knew I left a whole bunch of stuff. But everything that God has gifted us with skills and talents and experiences can be used for God to give him glory. Cooking, cleaning, fixing, singing, playing, mixing, making, creating, sewing, carving, crafting, brewing, drawing, painting, writing, talking, computing, engineering, accounting, negotiating, marketing, organizing, moving, mowing, growing, planting, training, teaching, memorizing, performing, designing, inspiring, protecting, securing, defending, and on it goes. And I know there's so many others, but all of these things can be used to glorify God. And as I look at the room, a lot of these things are being used to glorify God and to advance his kingdom. It's amazing how God can use our specific skills and talents for the building up of his kingdom and for the good of each other. And when we do that, here's why we're talking about this. When we push our skills and our talents and our abilities across the table and say, God, use it, we grow in faith. God invites us to partner in the building up of his kingdom. And there's no greater joy in this world than to know that God is using us to advance his kingdom here on this earth. We've talked the last few weeks about, you know, we sort of see ourselves as this church. We are a little bit like the Israelites in the Old Testament, wandering in the desert for 40 years. We're meeting in borrowed space. We started off at Monkey Wrench Brewing. We met a few other places. We've done house church. We're meeting here now. Where does God want us to be? But God's meeting us at where we are. And because we're a mobile group, it really does require a lot of help and a lot of skills on a regular basis. But we see how God meets us. It's so neat to see. I know that I keep using Dale and Crave as an example, but it's just one of those, it's such a necessary thing to be bringing all the stuff, and then Jason, you know, making lunch every week, and you guys making breakfast and bringing casseroles, to know that it's a benefit to the community of faith and to the kingdom of God. There's a joy that comes in serving with that. And I think as an indirect, there's growth that happens in our lives spiritually. So the question, you know, is how can you use your talent to glorify God and build his kingdom? How can you use your talent? What has God, you know, I've heard sermons before about Moses coming before God, and God tells him, you know, here's, how's Pharaoh going to know who I am? He said, well, what's in your hand? And Moses is holding the staff. He said, well, I'm going to use that. So the question is, what's in your hand? What has God put in you as talents or skills or abilities? You know, Jesus told the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. And just a brief summary, you know, this rich man went away for a long period of time, and he left his servants and he said, I'm leaving you my talents, these bags of gold, so to speak. And I want you to, you know, take care of them while I'm gone. Well, while he was gone, there were three guys. One guy got five talents. He invested it. When the master came back, he doubled it. He had 10 talents for him. Another guy, he gave him two talents and he doubled it. He had four talents. The last guy, he gave him one talent, and he just dug a hole in the ground and buried it because he didn't want anything to happen to it. And why is that? And here's what he said. Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I buried it in the ground. Look, here's your money back. Here's your one talent back. And the reality is how we look at God has everything to do with what we do with what he's given us. Master, I knew you were a harsh man. You weren't safe. You're not good. I can't take any risks because I don't know that you're trustworthy. I don't know that you really care about me. We all struggle with that. God, do you even know who I am? Do you see what I'm going through right now? Where are you? I'm taking my talent and I'm burying it because I at least don't want to lose that. That's all I got. God says, no. Be liberal with it. Be generous. Watch what I do when you give it to me. Watch what I do. So I was thinking about application for today. This is my last page of notes, and it's pretty quick. But I thought, I know that there are probably more buckets, but wouldn't it be cool if all of us found a bucket that we could just, or an umbrella that we could kind of come under? And I know probably most of us fit already into one of these, but the big buckets are, you know, kids ministry or hospitality ministry, worship, outreach, and care. I had creation and innovation as a bucket, but I realized, no, that's woven through all of these. So, because we're creative, because God's creative. He's not only creator, he's creative. And he's made us in his own image. And so in some way or another, we're all creative. You could be a creative accountant in a good way. Working with spreadsheets, figuring out how to make things go further legally. You could be obviously creative. We think of creative musicians and interior design and cooking and all, whatever it may be, a creative teacher making things interesting. Hospitality. So kids, rocking babies, crawling toddlers, engaging our elementary kids. And this is not an effort to get you to sign up and do something. This is just a way to help us see how our talents and our gifts and our skills can be used to forward God's kingdom. Hospitality, setting up and breaking down. There's a sense of hospitality. You come into a room and you just know something needs to be different for it to be warmer. Maybe the lights needs to be a little bit dimmer or brighter, or maybe chairs need to be arranged. That makes a big difference. This idea of welcome, you know, we've gotten some good feedback in the church survey. People have said, hey, it'd be nice if there were, I mean, we all should be welcoming. You know, if we see an unfamiliar face that we don't know, step out of our comfort zone a little bit and go just introduce ourselves and say, hey, welcome, I haven't met you. So we all really ideally need to be doing that. But it's also nice to have people who are specifically there to welcome. So welcome. If you're a people person, that's a way to use your gifts to make others feel welcome and help build the kingdom of God. Interior design, creating a sense of warmth, as I mentioned. Floral arrangement. I bought Laura some flowers for our anniversary this past week, and I just gave them to her, you know, and she arranged them. And I said, what you did with the flowers is I could not do. But there are people who have a sense of beauty, and they know how to take stuff and just add beauty to life. Food and coffee, so everything with hospitality. Worship, you know, audiovisual, these guys up here. I don't know if these guys had ever done anything, Craig and David, in regards to slides and audio and work and tech, but they were willing and said, hey, I can figure this out. And so they're working and serving for God's glory. Creating PowerPoints. How many of you, is there anybody in the room that's really good at creating PowerPoints? Because I'm terrible at it. Tom Haas, okay. Alex, right here, David, okay. I'm trying to get that off my plate. That is something I'm looking for. Ah, I see. Patricia's trying to get Leslie to raise her hand. The problem is I don't have the content for the PowerPoint until Saturday night at like 10 o'clock. So that's my problem. But music and singing, scripture and prayer, opening scriptures, you know, there may be somebody that would love to, you know, what's an opening scripture that can lead us into God's presence on Sunday mornings? That might be something that somebody would really enjoy doing. Praying. Somebody may have a gift of prayer that said, hey, I'll get in the rotation and pray to open our service or close our service or whatever it may be. Outreach, you know, developing partnerships with our nonprofits around here. Just somebody that has a heart for serving others that have need. Food, shelter, clothing, transportation, you name it. To say, that's my thing. I love helping people. Show and tell. I call it show and tell. Show is showing people God's love, and tell is just telling people about God's love. That's evangelism. That may be a gift for you that you can use to express your faith. And as we do that, we grow in faith. And then the last is care, just caring for people. I think of Julie Stevens, who a couple of years ago said, I'd love to, you know, start collecting and gathering people's birthdays, and I'd love to send them birthday cards. And she does such a great job with that. So we can get creative to think, how can I care for people? How has God wired me? And turn it into a ministry that will bless other people. But prayer ministry, assisting the deacons with helping people meet their physical needs, preparing a meal for somebody in need. And I mentioned Julie sending birthday cards. And so my closing thought here, as we think about all these things, about how when we serve and we invest our talents and our skills, is this. I thought of Romans 12. I've got this quote up here, but here's really the closing thought. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Well, what is God's mercy? Romans 8, 3 and 4 says, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but live according to the Spirit. That's what we're talking about. All of these gifts, skills, experiences, talents, when they're ignited by the Holy Spirit, they come alive. And when we give it to God, we benefit, the community benefits, the kingdom benefits. So in view of God's mercy, that's God's mercy, what he's done for us. I urge you, brothers, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Offer ourselves as a living sacrifice that's holy and pleasing to God. And he says, this is your true and spiritual act of worship. This is what worship is when we offer ourselves. It's not, it is this when we sing, it's this when we gather, but worship is when we give ourselves to God. And we allow him to use us in our talents and the skills and things that he's given us. And I just wrote here, giving of our talents provides an indirect but very important benefit. And that's being connected into community with other people. I know those of you, many of you in this room who have gotten connected and you're serving, there's benefit of relationship. And that's what Christianity is. It is not a Lone Ranger sport. It's a communal thing. We learn and we grow from each other's encouragement, from each other's wisdom. The whole thing with mentoring, you know, it's just coming into deeper relationship with other people that are a little further along and maybe people that are a little further behind. And we just come alongside of each other and help each other. So there's this huge benefit of being connected into community when we give ourselves to each other. And when we give back to God the skills and talents that he has given us, and when we become connected to others who are also following Jesus, we begin to find that we are growing in faith. And that's a great benefit, and that's good news for us today. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you. As we hopefully maybe today, this Lord's Day, this afternoon, we'll have a little bit of time to do an inventory. Sometimes it's hard for us to see how you have gifted us, how you have used us to bless other people. But I do pray and desire that for each of us, we would know, we'd have a good idea of how you have given us skills and talents that are a blessing to other people, things that come so naturally to us, but other people are blessed by them. So give us that awareness, and Lord, would you fill our hearts that in view of your mercy and of your great love for us, we would just say, God, here you go, I'm in. I'm going to stand in the offering basket. I'm in. Take my stuff, take my talent, take my time, and use me for your glory. We're grateful that you have given us eyes and given us ears and given us hearts and minds that would be responsive and receptive to embrace your love. That is a huge gift, and we give you thanks. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.